Is that any better? Can you see the screen?
Yeah, we can't really see the words. Yeah, there we go. That's better.
Okay. All right, I think I have it working. I don't see anything that says it's not recording.
It's recording. I think you're good to go.
Okay. All right. Well, today is October 23rd, and the topic for today's lesson is spiritual Zion, or building the ark, the spiritual ark. We are ark builders at this point. We have taken, this is our third week working on this lesson, because we're going through these scriptures. Just a little recap, the lesson is about how we are trying to get a grasp on what Brother Mauricio has spoken to us about becoming a spiritual Zion before we are building a physical Zion, that in our hearts and our souls and our love for each other, we are building ourselves a spiritual ark that we can draw people towards us, that we can become closer to our Father in heaven, and closer to the kind of people that the Lord wants us to be able to stand with him when the time comes that we are fighting the adversary. These are several of the verses that we have picked out, or I have picked out. Again, this was just a kind of a brainstorming thinking process. So we are on Sealed Book of Moses in the Sealed Book, and we're doing chapter 5. We just finished verses 24 through 25, and I think we did that one. And then we're going to go to chapter 5, verse 29 through 34. And if you have the yellow covered book, it's on page 82. Yes. 82. Verse 25 starts on 82 now. All right. So
I was just going to say, do you want me to read?
Yes. Thank you, Lisa.
All right. So you want me to start on 29, and do you want me to go all the way to 34, or just like one verse?
Oh, I'm so glad you guys worked my brain for me. It's really been a tough week. 29, yes. 29 is on page 83. If you want to do do the first three, do 29, 30, and 31.
Okay, I can do that. All right, therefore, I, Moses, tell you again this truth, that the children of men who shall receive these things, when the fullness of time comes, that they will not yet be fully ready to comprehend in its fullness the truths here exposed, except to those who seek to understand the mysteries of God. This will naturally occur, not because of excessive attachment to their traditions, because the things here written by me, Moses, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, will be as clear and precious as the purest and crystalline water to drink in a thirsty desert, a clear source in regard to everything else that will already be contaminated and polluted by the precepts of men. It will then be given, according to the things written by the prophets, that here on this earth and beyond the great waters will live, but that they will never perceive the hidden truth behind the previous writings, coming to know that the gifts derived from the fruits of the Holy Spirit are in fact pure feelings coming from a sanctified heart in whose greatest gift, love, hides the fullness of God's power.
Okay. Any thoughts?
It's a beautiful section. I like how it says that we're not really going to even begin to comprehend these mysteries unless we're truly seeking. And in order to do that, we have to like pull ourselves away from the traditions. We have to be kind of thirsty for it. Try not to be contaminated by the precepts of men. Anyways.
Yes.
I never noticed the in 31. It will then be given according to the things written by the prophet that here on this earth and beyond the great waters will live. So there's a lot of truth in here with the water and the crystals and influence of the Holy Spirit. And I love that not because of excessive attachment.
Mm-hmm.
So how much we see that around us. And I feel that a lot with people closing doors and other people being childlike and being interested. That is so fast usually in the conversation, you can sense that people are excessive attached or not. And mm-hmm. and it's all here. And yeah, even the, also not the not, they're ready for the fullness to comprehend. But if you seek, you know, accept those who seek, who always will be seeking. And this is, I feel lately, a lot even apart from not the age of people, that the eternal soul, you can feel that some are more creative maybe are wanting to learn, and other maybe more afraid and attached to the traditions, and we have to have heart for all of them, but we have so little time, but it's here. So beyond the great waters, I was also thinking about different perceptions, you know, and hidden mm-hmm. things, maybe different dimensions or stuff like that.
Yeah, I would also like to add, because I was also looking at this sentence, it's a bit of a strange sentence. It will then be given according to the things written by the prophets that are here on this earth and beyond the great waters will live.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit rough English. So can I say it like that or not?
Yeah.
Because it is about this sentence, 31 verse, is referring to accept those who seek to understand the mysteries of God. Mm-hmm. And even those people will never perceive the hidden truth behind the previous writings, as prophesied by the prophets here on this earth and beyond the great waters that have lived and will live. So,
you lost me, by the way, but...
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, I thought it was very interesting.
Because I studied this verse because it was a strange verse for me. So, but I have a hard time explaining probably. Maybe I'll come back to it.
For me, I think it also has to do with Genesis and the waters above and below, and we're moving towards the spirit, the Holy Spirit season, and it's like a finer frequency, maybe a sensibility. That we are able to feel.
Yeah,
you know,
it will be given then that we will discover the gifts that are coming from the
fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think this is the reason for the sealed book. It's in 31 that
love the fullness.
Well, they will discover are now coming to know that the gifts derived from the fruits of the Holy Spirit are in fact the pure feelings coming from a sanctified heart, in whose greatest gift, love, hides the fullness of God's power. I think it's a...
So hides is interesting word there. That you can't see, you know, it's on the inside. It works from the inside, not top down with power like Satan, inflicting things upon us, but he works. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that this discovery has never been before revealed to the sons of men, that is so interesting up until now.
Those are great thoughts, and I felt that first verse, that first sentence in verse 31. So I think it does have to do with what is here on earth. And to me, the great waters, at first I was thinking, well, not in America, but across the seas, but it certainly can be, like you guys just said, before creation, the ones that are in the celestial kingdom. So it's everywhere. It's here on earth plus the celestial kingdom. And the hidden truths are going to be revealed only if we seek them and ask for them. And they'll be given to each one of us differently. And that even though we know we have this attachment to traditions, maybe it's saying, well, some of us can easily get rid of those attachments. And some of us, it's going to be very hard, especially if you have family and their tradition is the holidays and going to the temple and things like that, that they stay focused on instead of learning more of the gifts that come from the fruits of the Holy Spirit, instead of trying to get closer to the Holy Spirit and live on that side. I think it's going to be hard for different people in different ways. And the only way to reach where we're going is to ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit to seek to understand those mysteries. And he has started by saying very plainly that the pure feelings are the gift of love. I don't know. There is a lot in these verses. And the whole point is to try and transform our thinking. Pull us towards the goal, but pull us towards individually desiring to be closer to Heavenly Father.
May I speak on this verse?
Yes.
I made a note in my book that in the Portuguese, the word earth, in the second line of verse 31, says here on this earth, that if it's the word terra, T-E-R-R-A, but I haven't had time to confirm it yet, but I will when I'm done. But if terra is written with a lowercase t, it's referring to this earth, it's referring to land. And so the verse would read, talked about the prophets that are here on this land and beyond the great waters, where if the word terra is written with an uppercase T, it would mean earth. And so then what we were saying about the prophets that are in heaven might be applicable. But I will look this up in the Portuguese version as we go on, but I think this means the earth, prophets on this land, excuse me, meaning the land that Moses was on, I believe.
Okay.
It makes sense.
Thank you, that helps.
Let's go ahead, and if someone wants to read 32 through 33.
I can read it.
Thank you.
This gift to be used by grace temporarily allowed the one who attains divine recognition by means of supplication and prayer, or by means of an authorized representative of the Son of the only begotten of the Father in the flesh, by whose priestly office he allows him to use that greater feeling, or even of other derivatives of it, that if allows to flow, and that frees, that awakens, that is reborn, that renews, and finally, that sculpts the human character and dignifies him according to the divine personality in a higher being, coated of charity and compassion. I'm not talking about pity, because to pity someone is a petty feeling derived from the evil one. But above all, I am talking about empathy. When we want others to have the greater good that we have or want to have. If allows to flow, it's interesting.
Right.
Well, I keep getting cut off. We got a bunch of snow here today, and I don't know, my internet keeps going down.
Oh wow.
So I'm gonna leave. Okay, we'll see you next week.
Say hi to Karen.
Good to see you.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Russell. The snow must have come from the south for him to have lots of snow. Yeah. But it goes up and down one side of the mountain and it doesn't cross over all the time into Duchesne area. Yeah, that is a good word, allows to flow, and that frees. So if you allow it to flow, you're freeing up, I guess, whatever it is that you're allowing to flow, then give it freedom that will awaken and reborn. Those are really good, a flow of thinking there, renews and sculpts. Because if you're closed-minded and not open, you aren't going to make a change, and you're not going to see a reason for a change. And this is saying that we're pulling the human character, trying to draw them into that divine personality that we need to have to enter the celestial kingdom. It is a little strange that the next verse goes completely from that thought of progression and getting more Christ-like into the word pity, and that it comes from the evil one. There must be a distinction there that we need to understand. I mean, it does say that. It says empathy and all, but any thoughts? Yes.
Well, just to finish my comment before, the Portuguese version, the word terra is written with a small case T. So in that case, the implication would mean land as opposed to the earth. So... thank you.
Okay.
So it is land, Brother Keckler.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry, I turned my mic off, but yes.
Thanks.
But it's still that we can look beyond. I mean, it doesn't have to be that we're limited to just this world. The Lord said, you know, we have many mansions and many universes, and the goal is to move forward and grow and become Christ-like enough to have the intention of leading people, raising people in a higher sphere. So I kind of think it, you know, if we stay connected to the land, if we're attached to that land and we don't allow our minds to be free and to flow and to think and teachable, that we can't achieve what God wants us to achieve. We're just finite people in one universe, one plane of thinking, and that's where we're going to stay. And that's not where he wants us to be.
I think
go ahead. I'll wait.
I was thinking about in this respect to the pity, that this is something which works very good with the imaging and the framing. So if you say, and it is a hard for people sometimes, and that you feel pity or you feel for them, but what you always want is to lift them up in a way. And first you have to recognize their sorrow or their situation. But I think that's where people tend to make mistake to, if they value the situation in a certain way, it's like a sticker, you know, it's finite. And that's why it's so fast here in going from pity feeling. I'm talking about empathy, yeah, that we want others to have the greater good. And I think this is much misused by Satan in getting us into the feelings, and that they want us, for example, with advertisement, they want you to feel like have earned it or that you deserve it, stuff like that. So I think that's very interesting with the emotion of sorrow and the list of further up in the sealed book, that it starts with this not pity but empathy. So thank you. Go ahead, Brother Kappa.
Okay, this verse that we just read, verse 31, talks about the hidden truths in the writings and about the because of the whatever it said. They'll never perceive the hidden truths behind these writings. I found it interesting that even Moses, as recorded in at the end of the spiritual creation in Genesis, in the inspired version, it's Genesis chapter 3, verse 33. And it's also in the book of Moses in the LDS scriptures. Moses was told the same thing that we read in the sealed book about. It says, "See that ye show them." Or see, and I have spoken unto you. See that ye show them unto no man, until I command you, except they that believe. And so, even though it says here that they were hidden, I think that it opens the door that the truth was established in the people who were receptive to it. And so I think that's a key, because the modern day Moses, the A Moses we have with us now, Brother Mauricio, is just following right after the pattern given to the original Moses. And I found that really fascinating, that they were told, the Lord revealed mysteries and secrets, and then they were told, don't show them to anybody except those that believe. And so anyway, that's my comment.
Well, and that's really difficult, finding someone who's going to believe. We're going to go through a lot of conversations before we get somebody that asks to know more. But that is interesting that throughout time, some of this was really still available to anybody who was seeking it and wanting to know more. I think, isn't that kind of what you said, Brother Bob?
I think so. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that he's no respecter of person, God, to anyone who puts in some effort.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I found about the gift, the first 32. The distinction between people who are temporarily allowed to attain divine recognition by means of supplication and prayer, or by means of an authorized representative of the Son of the Only Begotten of the Father in the flesh. So I'm not sure where it is, but in the seal book it also talks about women and other people who are not called for the priesthood. Mm-hmm. So I wondered the first, the temporarily allowed to one who attains divine recognition, etc. Maybe that responds to the women and the people who are not called to the priesthood.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. By grace. It says by grace, and that's also with the healing with women.
Right.
Yeah. I find it interesting
the scale and the broadness.
I'm not sure how to explain it, but yeah, well, some more information about how to use grace.
Right.
It's used by grace. Anyway, and who is allowing temporarily? Who decides what is temporarily allowed? Difficult.
But I think God does that. Decide.
Yeah.
You know, the
treat it like that. You know, you can. Yeah. Well.
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah.
Grace. It's. Yeah.
Well, that's who you're asking. That's who you pray to. You ask the mysteries to be, opened up to you. You ask for greater understanding.
Yeah, but so you have to trust that you are allowed to, because if you have the other group, the authorized representatives, you know, it's clear when they get the Melchizedek priesthood, you know, the laying on of hands and stuff.
Yeah.
But with this, you just have to probably, feel it.
That's a good point.
You have to feel that you are allowed, I think.
Yes. So that's everyone.
That's a new perception, you know, for me, especially as a woman who always thought, well, the priesthood is for men. And now it turns out that there is a kind of a priesthood.
The LDS Church in Utah very much so believes that the man is the head of the household, and they're told this. I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm just saying that this is their traditional thinking, that the man is the head of the household because of the priesthood that he is given by a right of being a man. it's not necessarily you get the priesthood by the right of what you do and your actions and your love for anybody. It's the fact that you're a man and here's an age and this is what happens. But the result of that is that women are very, very often put in the back and not allowed to grow or to have thoughts, not allowed to seek for a different, you know, to use the gifts that God has given to them because they don't even understand that they have gifts or that they can ask for them. And the sealed book is certainly telling us that that part of their traditional thinking is definitely not true. That we have a right to seek the gift of love and open our hearts. Sometimes when we talk about this stuff, Mother Teresa comes to me. She's like a hero to me as a woman because it appears in what I've learned from reading or watching newscasts or whatever that she was a great person with a lot of love in her heart to people who were downtrodden, and you know, especially tribes of people in Africa and everything. And it must have been really hard. And yet in everything that I've learned about her, I don't see pity in what she ever did. I see a lot of empathy and caring and love and wanting to raise them up out of the situation that they were in. And so she's always been a good example to me of empathy versus pity. So.
Yes. Sister Teresa, is that what we call her? Sister Teresa? Yeah. If you've read some of her books, she explains that the order that she started within the Catholic Church, they choose poverty. In fact, they the poorest, they're right there with the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, where she was when she died. But it's they have nothing. They have no money, and they have just the simplest, least expensive clothing. Although they do have a place, a building provided by the church and whatever, but they do go out in the streets and they find the most desperate people, downtrodden, outcasts, and they take them back into their building and they help them. But they chose this poverty lifestyle. I don't know what to say. Just other than that, she was an amazing person. And I did want to say that I think the verse that Sister Bakshi was looking for about the women is on in chapter 4, verse 25. And I just want to, in our discussion about the priesthood and women, I wanted to just say that remember that the priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, the higher priesthood was removed by God because it wasn't functioning properly. And so now we're starting again. And what the Lord's doing, he's rising up the ministry of the women at the same time as restoring the priestly powers to the Melchizedek priesthood. So hopefully there'll be a lot more love and respect.
And peace.
Hi, Darla. Yes. Good to see you, Darla. We are in Sealed Book of Moses, chapter 5. And we're getting ready to do verse 34.
Okay, did the time change happen or something?
I think that's next week or like the first week of November.
Okay, so this started 6 minutes ago?
No, it's 11 o'clock.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. So I will read verse 34. Therefore, guard your heart from the feelings derived from worldly passions and desires. For all these come from the influence of evil. Ensure that your soul is not affected by feelings of fear and doubt, for these are contrary to the courage to which we have been clothed in the Spirit, even before the foundation of the world, and the faith we should have in connection with God the Father, and that we can know in the fullness of our being that the solution of all adversities that stand in the way against our existence here on this earth rests not on our human capacity and fallen, but in God, who can do everything and for whom there is no impossibility. Wow. That says a lot. The courage, yeah, that we were clothed in the Spirit before the foundation of the world. We were given enough courage to do all of this, and then the veil comes down and we flounder like little fish without water. So I know Brother Bob's talked about this as far as guard your heart from the feelings, from the evil one. Renee has talked, I think Renee made a talk about this. And when I talked to her last, she said that she had it, she just couldn't remember where it was exactly put, the talk. And when she found it, then she would come and do the talk with us. But it does seem like we're running across that wording, guard your heart.
Yes, if I can tell on Sister Renee, yesterday she gave a talk about that at the other group's meeting. In fact, she put it in a video so she can play it, or it can be seen. So now maybe I can prompt her to maybe reach out to this group. So I think it'd be worthwhile to see her video on this subject.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
It's such great news that we don't have to carry it alone, you know, the last sentence. It not only rests on our existence.
Right.
In our capacity, but in God, who can do everything. So that's so hopeful, you know. Sometimes you feel you're carrying it yourself.
Yes. And that's when Satan probably stands up strong.
Yeah.
And entices you.
Yep.
And every feeling of fear and doubt, you know, guard your heart from that. We can guard our hearts from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes practice.
It's practice again and again, like an instrument.
We have to
practice the muse muscle of the love for our Father and Savior, Jesus. But so hopeful.
I think it also is telling us that, you know, when it says stand in our way against our existence here on this earth. We have other things to do. This is just part of it, I don't know. It's just that there is still more out there, and we have to, this is our practice place.
Yeah, we have also this coded saying the few verses back, a higher being coded. Isn't that interesting? Like a new kind of armor of God, coated with charity and compassion, and guard your heart. And we can with the right feelings, but you just have to try again and again and again to get rid of all those bad feelings and irritations, and that's why it's so beautiful that he became he lived among us, you know. That we have an example. It's not only words. We can try to imagine. And now we have to imagine putting on this cloak, this mantle ourselves.
Right. Could someone read the verse 35? I didn't include it, but I think it makes a lot of sense.
I can do it.
Okay.
For how much a sincere prayer made with a broken heart and a contrite spirit is enough to move the hand of him who commands the whole universe. That's a key.
Right.
Kind of thing, eh? Like with the right feelings, you can move the hand of him. I love that, the hand of him. Because that's his throne.
Right. Who commands the whole universe. But, you know, tells so much of the power that he has. And we sit down here and try to fix things like a little man. We're just tiny.
We're doing our best.
He can make little things.
What we know.
He makes little things big. But we first have to really, you know, appreciate the little stuff we're given, and look in everything, in the middle of all, he's in the middle of all things, it says in Doctrine and Covenants, in the bosom of all things. Everything where there is anything, there he is. So, but we have to look at it with this new perception, with grace. And
desire
to do his work and be able to bless the other people surrounding us, to be able to use that power. We have to learn to have the right feelings, not of pity but empathy.
Empathy, I think, builds love for each other. Empathy is a word that people often misunderstand. It isn't that you pity them. It isn't that you try to fix them. It's that you have an understanding of what is going through in their lives and can be supportive and show love in that situation. I think that's what it is. I didn't look it up in the dictionary.
Jeannie, Brené Brown did an amazing 5-episode series called Atlas of the Heart. And in number 5, she explains the emotion empathy. And she said almost exactly what you said. People think that empathy means, oh, you poor thing, you know, just having, and when you say, oh, bless your little heart, those type of things are not empathy, those are pity. And they're two separate things. That empathy is where you can sit with somebody exactly where they're at and not try to fix them or pity them, but to love them where they're at and to ask them what they need and what support looks like to them. Do you need me to hear you and listen? Do you need me, you know, that what does support look like for you is true empathy. And in this verse 35, how often have we prayed together in sincere prayer and made changes in our life? I can't tell you how many times my life has been blessed by praying with you, Jeannie, by praying with Lisa, by praying with JT on our little prayer meetings and our prayers here when we're gathered together in his name. Those mountains can be moved, those mountains in our lives and our trials and our struggles that we cannot bear alone. And I'm grateful that we do have things to reinforce that, like verse 35 that says, you know, a sincere prayer with a broken heart and contrite spirit is enough to move the hand of him who commands the entire universe, the whole universe. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that happen. So we don't have to have faith because we have knowledge in that power of prayer. And for us to do so, to partake in that more often when we're at our wit's end, I find comfort in that for me, at least.
Thank you, Darla. Anything else? Steve, you've been quiet.
I'm sitting here pondering some of these things and some of the similarities of other references I've had and how we are one heart and one mind. And when we're truly pure of heart, we can resonate as one, and through either the priesthood or the grace, no matter how you look about it. Both Enoch showed that, and Moses, when he parted the water, you know, the children have been baptized into the cloud. But what I hear is a binding of hearts resonating in unison through the priesthood of God. And it has done some pretty amazing things over the years. And I was just sitting here pondering some examples of that that helps me understand better. Mm-hmm.
Thank you all. Again, we didn't finish, but we're going through this and I think we're learning a lot. I have felt very uplifted by this today. Thank you all. So next week we can do starting chapter 17. And maybe we can get through the rest of these. Anybody have one last thing to say before I stop the recording? Okay.